The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Mishnah in Masechet Pesachim, in Perek Arba Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yud Dalet, states, Mos Gulei Keis Rishen, at the Seder, on the night of Pesach, they pour for the Balabais the first cup of wine. Veshama Emrim Mavorach Alayim, Vahakach Mavorach Alayim. Veshama says, first you make a brocha Alayim, which is Kiddush Hayim, Asher Brocha Bonim Mikol Amim, or Asher Brocha Bonim Mikol Om, Bekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim, Vahakach Mavorach Alayim, and then you make a brocha on the Yain, Beire Pri Hagofen. Ubeisilo Emrim Mavorach Alayim, Vesilo says, no, first you make the brocha al hayayin, beirei pri hagofen, v'yachakach mavorech al hayom, and then you make the brocha for the kiddush hayom. So we see that the first cup of wine is poured, and we make kiddush. The next Mishnah, and Daf Kuf Tezayin, states Mosgulei, or it's a Mishnah, two Mishnahs later, Mosgulei Keis Sheni, you pour for the Balabais a second cup of wine, V'kan HaBen Sheil Oviv. And here the son asks the father, V'imein Das B'ben Oviv Malamde. And if the son doesn't have sufficient knowledge to ask, then the father teaches him. And he asks, Manishtana Halayla Zemi Kol Halaylas, he asks the Manishtana. Except the Mishnah is a little different than the Manishtanu that we're used to, because on the third question is Shebechol Aleleis Ono Eichlin Boser Tzli Sholokum Avushlo, that on all nights we eat any type of meat, if it's roasted or broiled or if it's cooked. Halayla Zeh Kulut Tzli, but on this night we eat only roasted meat, because this is taking place during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and the foremost point of the Seder, together with the Matzah, was the Korban Pesach. And then the Gemara in the Mishnah continues with the Seder. Then there's a Mishnah and Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, Mosgulei Keis Shlishi, you pour for him a third cup, Mevorach Al Mezene, and you make Birchas Hamazon, you bench. Rivi, you pour the fourth cup. Gemar Olovas HaHalal, you complete the halal. Before the eating, we said the first half of halal. So now we complete the halal. Ve'ema Olov Birchas HaShir, and we also say the Birchas HaShir. The Gemara says, my Birchas HaShir, Rabbi Yudayim Yalalucha HaShem Elekeinu, Rabbi Yechanan Omar, Nishmas Kol Chai. Yalalucha or Nishmas Kol Chai. Bain cases halalu, between all of these four cups of wine, imreitzel lishtei shishta, if a person wants to drink more, he can drink. Bain shlishel revii leishta, but between the third and fourth cup, he is not allowed to drink any further wine. Then the Gemara tells us, om alayi revchanon lerova, from the fact that we see that you bench, you say birchas hamazon with a cup of wine, so from here is a proof that benching must have a cup of wine all of the time. Now, you don't need a cup of wine generally, or at least from here there's no proof that you would need a cup of wine for Birchas HaMazon. The reason why you have the cup of wine here is not because of the Birchas HaMazon, but rather because of the takona, of the ordinance of the Chachomim of Dalet cases, that we should have four cups of wine. Except, besides giving us four cases of wine, Derech Herus, like the way of free people, the Chachomim also wanted to to give a special chashivas, a special prestige to the cups of wine, and with each cup of wine, a mitzvah shall be performed. So therefore, with the first cup of wine, we make kiddush. With the second cup of wine, we have the manishtano, which is the beginning of the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, the telling of the going out of Mitzrayim. The third cup of wine, we have Birchas Hamazon, we bench with. And the fourth cup of wine, Gemen Olav Zahal Veim Olav Birchas Hashir, we complete the halal and the Birchas Hashir. Had we drunk each cup of wine merely by itself, it would lack the chashivas that a mitzvah is attached to it. But the cups of wine are not coming because of the particular mitzvahs, they are coming because of the takono of the dalal cases. So from here, from these mishnayos, we see that besides the obligation of matzah, moror, or pesach, that on Lil Tesvov, on the 15th night of Nisan, we are obligated in the mitzvah of matzah, and in the mitzvah of moror, and the mitzvah of pesach, and also the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, to tell of the going out of Mitzrayim. These are all mitzvahs during the time of the Beis Hamikdash. All of them were min haTorah. In our time, the matzah is min haTorah, and the Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt, is min haTorah, but we do not have the Korban Pesach today. And since we do not have the Korban Pesach, so the mitzvah of Moror is only a decree from the Rabbonim. Besides these mitzvahs, we see also the takona of dalat cases. The decree, the ordinance of four cups of wine, derech herus, the way of free men, and that a mitzvah, another mitzvah, was attached to each cup of wine. What is the purpose? Why did the Chachamim decide to ordain that we should drink four cups of wine? It's true, the Gemara says derech herus, to show we're free men. But there are many ways that we can show that we are free men. And why? Through the four cups of wine. The Medrash in Parshas Va'ero, a very well-known Medrash, Parsha Vov, tells us Vaitseisi eschem mitacha sibleis mitzrayim dalet gu'ule sheishkan, that there are four redemptions here. Now the Medrash is going on the psukim in Parshas Va'ero Vov, Pasuk Vov, Lochein emor libnei Yisrael ani Hashem, that Hashem told Moshe, tell the children of Israel, I am your God. I shall take you out from beneath the yokes, the burdens of Egypt. And I shall free you from your labors. And I shall redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. And I shall take you for myself for a nation, and I shall be for you a God, Elohim. So the Medrash says on this, Dalet Gula Sheishkar. We're speaking of four redemptions. Generally, this is known as the Dalet L'Sheni Shel Gula, four expressions of redemption. Actually, this text of the Medrash that we have states Dalet Gula is four redemptions. Reitzesi, Vitzalti, Vigoalti, Velokachti. Kodesh Baruch Hu, what did Kodesh Baruch Hu have to tell Moshe so much for? What did he just say? Reitzesi Eschem, Mitachasim Leish Mitzrayim. I will take you out from beneath the yokes of Egypt. Instead he said, I will take you out from beneath the yokes of Egypt. I will save you from your slavery. I will redeem you. And I will take you to myself for a nation. So the Medrash says this represents four expressions of redemption. Veitzesi, veitzalti, vigoalti, velkachti. Ukenegdon, tiknu chachomim dalet keses, velil pesach. And because of these four, the Chachomim ordained that we should drink four cups of wine on the night of Pesach. L'kayim ha-shenemar, to fulfill what Dovid HaMelech said in Tehillim Kuftes Zayin, Keish Yeshuais Eso, uveshem Hashem Ekro, that I will lift up a cup of wine which represents the Yeshua, which represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming to save us, and I will call out in the name of Hashem. This cup of wine, which represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming to save us, these are the four cases, the four cups of wine which we drink on Pesach. So we see that the origin for that the Medrash gives for the four cups of wine are the Dal L'Sheni Shel Geula, the four expressions of redemption which we find in Parshas Va'era. Why? Still does not explain, though. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to tell Moshe in four different ways he's going to redeem them? And because of that, the sages ordained four cups of wine. It would have sufficed for Hashem to tell Moshe that I would redeem you in one way, and then we wouldn't have had to have the four cups of wine. It's not like many think that we're speaking here of four expressions of Geula. If we're speaking here of one redemption and four expressions, then it would have been much simpler to express that one redemption with one expression. The Torah would not have to go to the extra length, and the Almighty would not have to go to the extra length to express it in four ways. We are not speaking of Dalel L'Sheni Shel Geula, of four expressions of Geula. Rather, from the fact that there are four expressions of Geula, we learn from here that there were four Geulas. There were four redemptions, like the text of the Medrash. Dalet Geula Sheishkan. Not one redemption expressed in four ways, but from the fact it was expressed in four ways, this means there were four redemptions. If there are four redemptions, and David HaMelech said, Keish Yeshua says so, that I will praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for redemption over a cup of wine. So then, if you have four redemptions, you're obligated then to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with four cups of wine. Therefore, kenegdon tiknu chachomim dalet cases. The chachomim ordained that we must praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu on each redemption. And since there were four, they ordained four cups of wine. This is how the Maral explains this Medrash. What are the four redemptions, therefore? So the Maral brings in his Haggadah that the first three redemptions are based on a posuk in Lech Lecha. In the Bris Bein Abesorim. Because Baruch Hu came to Abraham. In Lech Lecha Tes Vav Yud Gimel, he told Abraham that from you will come a great nation. The nation will be like the Kechvi HaShemayim, the off our orbits, stars of the heaven and the dust of the earth. And they will be my nation. But before this, they will go down to a nation, to a land which is not theirs. Vayemel Avraham, Yodea Teida, you shall know, Ki Ger Yezachor, that your seed shall be Gerim, they shall be strangers, but Eretz Leilahem, in a land which is not theirs. Ba'avodum, and they will be enslaved by them, Ve'inu Eisho, and those people will afflict them. Arba Me'eshona, for 400 years. But then the Gamas Agaya Sharia voted on Anachi, the nation that will do this to them, I shall judge. And then your seed will go out from them with a great and mighty wealth. Now this what Hashem prophesies to Abraham, actually three types, three decrees Geriyas Afabadis Leilahem. They will be strangers in a land which is not theirs. Ba'avodu. The nation will enslave them. The Inu also. And they will afflict them. If a person has to go to a land which is not his, this is a very uncomfortable. He's a ger, he's an alien. He's not a citizen. He's not at home. He's the stranger. And this is very uncomfortable. So this was the first decree. That your children will be gay. They will be aliens and strangers in a land which is not theirs. Vavodum, they will be enslaved. A person can be a ger, he can be a stranger, but he can be a free person. Have his freedom. They will also be enslaved. Thirdly, the Inu also, they will be afflicted. Generally, if a person has a servant, a slave, he doesn't afflict him. He uses him, but doesn't afflict him. No, they will be afflicted. The Inu also. So three decrees, Gimel Gzeres, were prophesied here. Geriyas Achaberes Leilahem. They will be strangers in a land which is not theirs. Gerus. Avodum, they will be enslaved. Abdus, the Inu also. And they will be afflicted. Inu. And we see this. We see that the Gerus, the sages asked a question. It stays 400 years. But they were only 210 years in Egypt. So why 400? So Hashem told Abraham, Ger Yezaracho. He said, your seed will be strangers. He didn't say which seed. And immediately from the birth of Yitzchak, if you count till the liberty that came at the time of the Exodus, there were 410 years. 400 years. Because from the birth of Yitzchak, Avraham was a ger. He was in a land which is not his. He was wandering. He went to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was not his yet. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, it's not yours yet. And then he had to go down to Egypt. He had to go other places. All the time it states, Gur Bo'aretz Hazeis. Live only temporarily. He was a ger. And since HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ger Yezaracho, your seed will be a ger. So at the birth of Yitzchok, he began to count the 400 years. And Yitzchok was born on the 15th of Nisan, on Pesach. The Malachim, the angels, came to Sora and told her that next year you will have a son at this time on Pesach. How do we know that? Because it states that the following day they went to snow. There they went to Lot. And Lot invited them in, and he was very insistent that they should come in. And it states that Lot gave them matzah to eat. This is in Parshas Vayir. And they came in. He made for them to drink, and he gave them matzahs. Why did he give them matzahs? Rashi says, Pesach hoyo. It was Pesach. So they came on Pesach. And they said, the next year, Sora will be holding a son. And Yitzchak was born on Pesach. And from that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu counted 400 years. Ube'etzem hayom hazeh, and on that very day, 400 years later, which was Pesach, the night of the 15th of Nisan, Kodesh Baruch Hu took them out of Mitzrayim because the decree had finished. We see that Yosef was a ger. Yosef went into a land that was not his. We see that all of the brothers became gerim. And Yaakov also became a ger. Pare gave them Eretz Goshen, but it was a land that was not theirs. So that was the first decree. Then we see the second decree of Vavodum, that they were enslaved. This began after the death of Yosef. Beginning of Parshas Shmos, it states, Vayomash Yosef, V'chol Echov V'chol Ador Ahu. Yosef died with all of his brothers and the entire generation. Vayokom Melech Chodesh. And a new king rose up. And it states, Vayavidu Mitzrayim Es B'nei Yisrael B'forach. They enslaved Egypt. This is in the beginning of Shmos. This was the second decree. Then it states, "Vayimoreru es chayehem ba'aveda kosher ubechomer ubevenin ubechol aveda basodeh." They embittered their lives. This was the inui, the affliction. This came at a later stage. Sages tell us that this came at a stage when Miriam was born, and therefore she was named Miriam. Al shem shemeiru es chayehem, because they made bitter their lives. Miriam was born 85 years before the Geula, because she was 5 years older than Moshe. Moshe was 80 years when he stood before Pare. So therefore, Miriam was born 85 years before the Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's when the Vayimoreru, when the affliction began. So it came in stages. The Gerus, the alienship began from the time of the birth of Yitzchok, and the Avdus, the slavery began after Yosef and all of his brothers and that generation died, after all of the Shvatim died, and the Mrirus, the bitterness and affliction, that began with the birth of Miriam. So these were the three decrees. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to free Klal Yisrael. He had to free them from all three Gzeiros. So firstly, it states, V'hitzesi eschem mitach asiv lish Mitzrayim, that I will take you out from beneath the yokes of Egypt. The yokes refer to the affliction, to the inui. He freed them from the more difficult one first, which you would have to. So first he took off their chains of affliction. I will free you from the heavy burdens of Egypt. This represented the affliction. Yitzalti eschem me'avedosam, I will take you out from your servitude. This represented the second decree of Abdus, of slavery. V'go'alti eschem Yisrael etu yishvatim gedolim, and I will redeem you. This represented taking them out of a land which was not theirs. So three geulas, three redemptions took place. First to redeem them from their affliction, then to redeem them from their slavery, and then to redeem them from being strangers in a land which was not theirs. These were the three geulas. And these were the three expressions which refer to this. Therefore, we drink three cups of wine to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu on each geula. What is the fourth now? The fourth states, V'lakachti eschem li li'om, I will take you to myself as a nation. V'yisi lochem le'elokim, and I will be a God over you. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu freed them from the first three decrees, and they were completely free from Egypt, but they still didn't belong to anyone. They were free from Egypt, but they did not belong to anyone yet. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I will give you another redemption. I will bring you to me. V'lakachti eschem li'li'om. I will make you my nation. V'yisilochem li'likim. So we see there were two stages. First, the freedom of Egypt, and then being brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is expressed in other places. For example, when they crossed the sea, Moshe sang in the Ojo Shir Moshe, Amzu go alto, Amzu koniso. I have redeemed this nation, I have acquired this nation. What do we need both for? I have redeemed this nation, I have acquired this nation. I have redeemed this nation from Egypt. I have acquired this nation for myself. These are the two stages. We find this also. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Avodaihein, they are my servants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Avodaihein, velei avodim laavodim. They are not servants to other servants, they are servants to me. They are not servants to other servants, they are servants to me. He freed them from being servants to Egypt, and then he took them as his own servants. These were the two stages. Now, to get a little deeper understanding in this, Egypt didn't only represent what we would call a political oppression. Egypt was not merely another nation in the world. The Sifri and Teirish Kahanim tells us, and the Posuk Kibase Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yishabtem B'lei Sasu, that like the deeds of Egypt, who you dwell by, you shall not do. Minayin Shelohay Yisal Uma B'Umes Shoyudarchehem K'mei Mitzrayim. How do we know that there was not another nation in the entire world that was like Egypt, that their acts were like Egypt? Because the Torah told us in particular, after we already left Egypt, you shall not emulate the acts of Egypt. And the Medrash tells us, Shohoyu mikulkole mikulkolim darkehem yesu mikula. Their acts brings actually two nations. We're speaking of Mitzrayim and Canaan. Mitzrayim and Canaan, their acts reached a greater stage of ruination and depravity than any other nation in the world. This was Mitzrayim. The prophet called Mitzrayim Bisorum kipsar chamorim. They are like the flesh of donkeys. Why did he refer to them as a donkey? Of all of the animals, the one that's the most physical is the donkey. Therefore, he's the most sluggish, slow, and stubborn. This is a sign of the hisgabrus hachemer, of the overpowering of the physical elements. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a man. He created him from the earth. This is the physical element in man. And he gave him a nefesh, a neshama. This is the spiritual element in man. Animals also were given a neshama. It says in Parshas Bereishis, a nefesh. Even though it's not a nefesh like man, he was given a force of life, which comes mimal, which comes from above, doesn't come from the earth. The more force of life that a person has, the greater chiyus life he has in him, the greater powers of life, the greater speed of life. When life departs, then man becomes like the earth. There is no movement in him. He's totally still. And Yoshua Ella audits and he returns to the earth. The slowest and most sluggish of all of the animals is the donkey. Therefore, when the Novi, when the prophet epitomized Egypt by comparing them to donkeys, he meant something with this. He wasn't merely insulting them. He meant that amongst the peoples of the world, the greatest powers of the physical element of man was found in Mitzrayim, in Egypt. The donkey's name, Hamor, equates itself with another Hebrew word, Chomer. Chomer means the physical, the raw physical element. For example, if you make a pot, a vessel, so when you take the raw physical element, before you form it into something, that's the Chomer. This is why the donkey is called that. And this is why he referred to Egypt this way. It was because of this that all Averis and all Tuma, all impurities, which come from the Chomer Odom, which comes from the physical elements of man, Egypt was involved in. We find that there was Znus, acts of immorality, but not only acts of immorality, acts of incest, and Tuma and impurities, and deviations, and Kishuf, sorceries. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kimasi Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yishavtem Bo Leisasu, that you shall not emulate the acts of Eretz Mitzrayim. And the Gemara brings that if a Jew commits an act which is a deviation from the norm because of its lowliness, so he transgresses this prohibition of Kemasi Eretz Mitzrayim. He's emulating the acts of Egypt. This was Egypt. And therefore, when Egypt overpowered Klal Yisrael, it wasn't merely a political oppression. It wasn't merely that Klal Yisrael did not have their liberties. But the entire influence of Egypt overpowered Klal Yisrael. The entire culture of Egypt, the society of Egypt, overpowered the Nefesh Yisrael. And this also was included in the Gerus, being strangers in their land, and the Avdus, the subjugation, and in the Inui, the affliction. This is what Achazal tell us, that there were times when Klal Yisrael sunk to tremendous depths. There were many of Klal Yisrael that were lost. It states that only 1/5 went out. 4/5 remained in the darkness of Egypt. This was the Shibud Mitzrayim. It was not merely an enslavement of political rights. It was enslavement of the goof of the body. It was an enslavement of the mind. It was an enslavement of the motions. And it was an enslavement of the spirit. But it states that at times Klal Yisrael was brought down to the Memtes Shari Tuma, to the lowest depths of impurity in the world, because of the great force that Egypt had over them. So now when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them Shichrur, he redeemed them from all of this. They were redeemed from all of the physical forces which were represented in the world. Because Mitzrayim, Egypt, had encompassed all of these physical forces. They freed themselves from Egypt. They rose above it. They came to a physical freedom and a spiritual freedom. This was the Gulas Mitzrayim. This is what is meant by the Yetzias Mitzrayim, freeing oneself from Egypt. Now, once Klal Yisrael came to such a state then there was a new horizon for them. If no longer they were avodim la avodim, slaves to slaves, no longer they were subjected to the depravities and the impurities and the powers of the world, then there was shikra. Then there was freedom. If the nefesh Yisrael, if the soul of Israel is free, then immediately it becomes part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the soul of Israel, the spirit of Israel, is basically so great and on such a high level that once they free themselves from all of these foreign influences, immediately they'll become part, they will rise to the level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "V'hitzeisi," I will free them from their burdens of affliction. "V'tzalti," and I shall take them, free them from their slavery. "V'ga'alti," and I will redeem them from their alienship. Then, "V'lokachti lochem li li'om," I will take them to me as my nation. The first three, these were the amzu. Go alto, I have redeemed them from foreign hands, and then amzu koniso, they have become mine. If they're no longer avodim la avodim, servants to other servants, then avodaihim, they are servants to me. This is what the Chazal say, kuchibricho v'Yisrael chathu. Kodesh Baruch Hu and Israel is one. They are one and inseparable. Except the Mechitzas HaChemer is Mafsik. The great walls of the physical world separate Israel from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If these walls can be broken down, then immediately Klal Yisrael becomes part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If they cannot be broken down, then there's separation. And this is what took place in the Yetzias Mitzrayim. We see from Yaakov Avinu, Tzurosei Choku Kalkisi Akovid, that Yaakov Avinu, who was the overpowering figure in the world that Klal Yisrael came from, his tzura, his face was carved out on the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is how high he rose. And Klal Yisrael also had the capabilities to rise to these heights, if only they could free themselves from Egypt. So when they did, then came the fourth geula, the fourth redemption of Lokachti Eschem Li La'om, that I will take you to be my nation. From here we can understand. I just wonder, can we open some more windows? I think it's too hot in here, no? Maybe they will move away the curtains, let some more air in. Some of us up the windows. From here, we can understand many things that took place. We see by Yosef. Yosef was a slave to Egypt. In the end, he ended up not only being free, he ended up to be the Meshul, Aharehu Meshul Al Kol Eretz Mitzrayim. He ended up being the Lord over Egypt, a monarch, a viceroy. It's true that he was freed from the dungeon. But why did he end up being such a great and powerful monarch over Egypt? Which actually gave him a power over the entire world. Because the Gemara in Psochim brings that Yosef was malakid kol kesef shebe'ilam. He gathered up all of the wealth of the world. Because all of the nations of the world came to buy grain from Egypt. And Yosef collected it all. Malakid kol kesef shebe'ilam. All of the wealth of the world he collected. And this was part. This was the wealth that Klal Yisrael took out to fulfill the promise that Hashem made to Avraham berechush gadol, that they will go out with a great and mighty wealth. But it seems a paradox. From the dungeon, or we can understand from the dungeon he should be a free man, but from the dungeon to the throne, this was Yosef. Yaakov also. We see Yaakov was a lord. Was a tsar, was a king. When he came down to Egypt, Pare asked him for a bracha. When he died, all of Egypt went to his funeral. They marched to Eretz Yisrael. The Medrash tells us that on the way, many nations came. And when they saw the great procession and the mighty Egyptians giving all of this honor to him, they took their crowns and they hung it on the casket of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov was not a simple Jew that came into Egypt. And all of Egypt wept for him. Because when he came, the famine ceased. And the waters, he gave Pare a brocha that the waters of the Nile should rise up to him whenever he goes to it. So he wasn't a simple Jew coming into Egypt. He also was a Meishel Vesar. He was a mighty king and monarch. We find the same thing with Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael were enslaved. When they were freed, they didn't merely go out as free people. They went out as a mighty nation that destroyed Egypt. Totally. Devastated the land of Egypt. They went out with all of the wealth of Egypt. Kimetzu l'shein beidogim. They left it as a pond of water that was empty. Seems paradoxical. And the same thing we do on the Seder night. Gemara says that we do many things on the Seder night, derech erus, to show that we are free men. Free men means you're not slaves. But doesn't necessarily mean that you're a nobility, you're royalty. Except that the Seder we do many things which are royalty. Dalit cases shall yain derech erus. We drink 4 cups of wine like a free man. Just because a person is not a slave, he doesn't drink 4 cups of wine. Mesubim, we recline derech erus, but that's royalty. We bring our best silver to the table. What is the answer to this? Because by Klal Yisrael, there cannot be that middle point. By other nations they can be. By other nations they can be free and not royal. By Klal Yisrael, they are either avodim la avodim, they're slaves to other slaves, or they're avodaihim, they are my slaves. If they are my slaves, then they're nobility and royalty. Because they become attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melech Malchei HaMelochim, the King of all kings. Amzugo alto, amzugo niso. If they're enslaved, then they're enslaved. If they're redeemed, then they belong to me. Because the soul of Israel comes from the soul of Yaakov Avinu. That was his 12 sons, and all of Israel came. And he was Chokuk al Kisei Hakoved. He was attached to the throne of the Almighty. And a Jew rises to the greatest heights once he can free himself from the forces of Egypt. Therefore, once Yosef was freed from the influences of Egypt, he didn't become a free man, he became the monarch of Egypt. Yaakov Avinu was a king. Once Klal Yisrael were freed from the forces of Egypt, they destroyed Egypt. And this, the Chazal tell us. There's a Medrash that states when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Obish that your children will be kekeich v'ashamayim u'keofar ha'oretz, like the dust of the earth and like the stars of the heaven. The Medrash breaks. But when they rise up, they will rise as high as the stars of the heaven. There can be no middle point for them. Either they are avodim la'avodim, they are slaves to other slaves, or if they are not slaves to other slaves, if they are free from them, then avodayim, they are my slaves. They are people of the
extremes
of these two extremes.
To other slaves,
the Gemara brings this in Masechet Ksubos. Daf Samach Vov Amud Beis. Toner Rabbonin Maaser Rabbi Yechonon Ben Zakkai She'erechiv Al HaChamor. The great Rabbi Yechonon Ben Zakkai, who was the one who saved the remnants of Klal Yisrael, he was riding on a donkey v'yetzim Yerushalayim, he was going out of Yerushalayim v'yetalmidim holchim achrov, his talmidim, his disciples were following him, v'rori v'achas, he saw a young girl shoyso malaka malaketes seori mibein gloli behemdun shalabayim, who was gathering up barley from between the dung of the animals which belonged to the Arabs. Given Sharo say so, Nisat for Besar of Omdelefonov. When she saw Rabbi Yechonon ben Zakkai coming, she got up, she covered her hair. Omra le Rebbe Paniseni. She said, the Rebbe, give me what to eat. Omra bas miat. So he said, whose daughter are you? Omra bas Nagdimon ben Gurion. The daughter of Nagdimon ben Gurion. Nagdimon ben Gurion was one of the three wealthiest men in Yerushalayim at the time of its pride, in the time of its peak. So the Gemara relates, where's all the money of your father? So she said, Leike Hadein Mitle Mendalia Yerushalayim Molach Momen Chosav Ameloch Chosad. He lost all of his money because he didn't give tzedakah. So Rabbi Yechonon ben Zakkai said, he turned around to his talmidim. Then he asked her, and where is all of the money? So he says, Yerushalayim. They said that if you want to save your money, then chosar, a person wants to save his money, what should he do? Lose your money. We've given shurim on this in the past when we spoke on stock and chesed. Now I just want to extract another point from the Gemara. So he asked her, what about the money from your father-in-law? He also was from the great wealthy people. She said the money got mixed up and it was all lost. Omrulay Rebbe Zohar Atoke Shechasamti Aksubosi. She said to him, Rebbe, do you remember when you signed my ksuba? You were a witness of my ksuba at the Hasna. Omem le Talmidim. So Rabbi Yechonon ben Zakkai turned to his Talmidim and said, Zohar ani Kishechasamti Aksuboso V'yisi kere elef alofim din reizov mi beisavio chutz mishel chomio. I remember when I signed on this woman's ksuba and I read that she was bringing into her marriage 1,000 thousands, in other words 1,000,000 gold coins from her father's house, chutz mishel chomio, besides
what her father-in-law was giving into the marriage. 1 million gold coins. Imagine 1 million Kruger rands. That's what she was bringing in. Besides what her father-in-law was giving into the marriage. So Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai declared, Ashreichem Yisrael. How fortunate is Israel. Bizman she'atem ha'isim etzein ishal malkem. When you fulfill the will of the Almighty, ein kol umma veloshen shaletes bochem. There is not a nation in the world that can rule you. But when you do not fulfill the will of the Almighty, Moser eschem miyad umashfela, you are given over to the lowliest nations. Not only to the lowliest nations, but even to the animals of the lowliest nations. We see these two extremes by Klal Yisrael. Kisha'elim, elim akech v'yashamayim. When they go up to the stars of the heaven. Kishayodim, when they go down to the dust of the earth. Either avodim la'avodim, they are slaves to other slaves. If they free themselves, then they are servants to me, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are the four geulas, the four redemptions. The first three were to free Klal Yisrael from Egypt, which were all of the physical forces of the world. And then the next one was to bring Klal Yisrael, Takorish Baruch Hu, Lekachti Lechem, Lekachti Eschem Li Leom. These were the four Lishenis and the two stages. First stage was Amzu Go'alto, I have redeemed this nation. And the second stage is Amzu Koniso, now I have acquired this nation. From here, the Maral says, we can understand why the Gemara says, Bein Gimel Adalet Ein Mafsiki, that between the first three cups of wine, you can make an interruption by drinking other wine. But between the third and fourth cup of wine, you're not allowed to interrupt by drinking other wine. Because the first three redemptions, one was independent of the other. It's possible that they should be free from affliction, but still be slaves. Free from slavery, but still be aliens. But between the first three and the fourth, that's immediate. There can be no interruption by the Nefesh Yisrael. Once the Nefesh Yisrael is free, totally free, then immediately he rises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, the Mishnah says, Bein Gimel LeDalet, between the third and fourth cup, a Mishnah should not allow to drink other wine. This principle is very important because this is the principle of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of the going out of Egypt. And we find that the Geulas Mitzrayim, the redemption of Egypt, is not only an important source to many, many mitzvahs, and is not only, is not only the source of all of this Mani Kodesh, all of the Yom Tovim, Shabbos, we say, Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. But we find that really it's the source to the entire Torah. Where do we find that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Klal Yisrael on Har Sinai. The first principle that he told them was Anechi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God. Asher Otzeisichem, Asher Otzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avodim, that has taken you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. The first revelation that Klal Yisrael had, which was on Har Sinai, was linked to the Geulas Mitzrayim, to the redemption of Egypt. And why? Because Anechi Hashem Elokecha, I am your God. I'm going to give you mitzvahs. The first principle is you must accept me as your God. You must accept me as a king. Imein mitzaveh a mitzvah. If there is no king, there can be no commands. So the very first and most fundamental cornerstone is Anechi Hashem Elokecha. I am your God, I am your king. All mitzvahs of the Torah are dependent on this. If you do not recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are no mitzvahs. That's why the Gemara calls someone who rejects HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kefir B'Ikr. Kefir B'Ikr means he rejects the root. It's possible that a fruit of the tree you do not like. It's possible you cut off a branch of the tree, but the tree is still there. But if you destroy the root of the tree, then there is no tree. Someone who rejects that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king of the world and the king of Klal Yisrael, that's a kefir b'ikar, he is rejecting the source of the entire Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't come and say, I am the Lord your God who created the world. He didn't tell Klal Yisrael to that. Because he created the world for many, many nations. He didn't give them the Torah. The 613 mitzvahs are not dependent on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Because all 70 nations of the world all enjoy the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, yet they're not obligated to all of the mitzvahs. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you, that I took you out of the house of bondage in Egypt, that I freed you, and therefore I took you for myself, not like other nations, but I made you as my nation, and I have made myself king over you. If you accept the fact that I am your king, then we can speak about mitzvahs. If you reject the fact that I am your king, then there can be no mitzvahs. So all mitzvahs are dependent on the fact that he has taken us out of Egypt. That I, amzu ko'alto, amzu konisho, I have redeemed you and I have taken you for myself. Therefore, a Jew has to know two things. One is that he has to understand and study and talk about the Yetzias Mitzrayim all of the time, because in accordance to his understanding of the redemption of Egypt, to that degree will he be a servant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If he is free from Egypt, then he will be a servant to Hashem, and he'll be able to perform mitzvahs. If he is not free from Egypt, then he will not be able to perform mitzvahs. So a Jew must study and relate and talk about the Yetzias Mitzrayim all of his life. Therefore the Gemara says, Chayavodim lahaski yetzias Mitzrayim b'chol yom. Every day we're obligated to speak about the going out of Egypt, because it is the cornerstone of all of our mitzvahs. If we are not free from Egypt, then we cannot serve Hashem. Someone who is slave to Egypt cannot be a slave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On Pesach night is a special mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, when we elaborate about the story of Egypt. And the more one elaborates, the greater and more praiseworthy he is. But every day is a mitzvah of Askorish Yetzias Mitzrayim, where we must make mention of the going out of Egypt. That's one great principle that a Jew must know. A second great principle that a Jew must know, and unfortunately, we don't find this too much, that a person's greatness in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu depends on his greatness of independence and freedom. If a person is independent, if he's a free thinker, he's not pinned down, he's not influenced by everything that passes by, then he can talk about serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If he's not free, then he's not an Eved Lashem. He cannot serve Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Avodaihem v'lei avodim la'avodim, as long as they're slaves to others, they cannot be a slave to me. And that means that you must constantly, every day, work on freeing himself. Freeing himself from the influences which surround him. Freeing himself from the overpowering forces of nations, of society, of evil people, of wrongdoers, or his own desires and quests, then can he serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Like we see that as long as Klal Yisrael were in Egypt, they were not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's people. Only afterwards did he bring them to Har Sinai to give them the Torah, because then they were a free people. Greatness in the serving of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in degree to the greatness of independence and freedom. And how does a person do this? It's easily said, but how does he do it? And that the Gemara tells us. Ein ben chorin, elamisha esik betorah. Someone who toils and labors every day and every night in Torah, this will give him freedom. And the Gemara learns it out from the Luchais, from the tablets. Chorus ala Luchais. The words were written, engraved on the tablets. Al tikre chorus ala chorus. They were engraved freely on the tablets. Beneis hoyoim. They were not attached to the tablets. They were held in mid-air on the tablets. They were not attached. Why were they not attached? Because the letters of the tablets represented the Torah. The Torah is the essence of freedom. They could not be anchored down by the stone. Therefore it states chorus, they were engraved, which means the same word as free. And from here we learn that Torah gives freedom to a person. Everybody wants to be independent. Everyone talks about independence. Everyone talks about liberty. Everybody talks about free thinking. But you take a look and you'll see how free they are and how independent they are. They become slaves to themselves. They become slaves to every fad. and every philosophy and every ideology. True freedom, that the Torah will give. Because the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Borosi Yetzohara. Borosi Torah Tavlin. I have created the Yetzohara, which is the force of slavery in the world. It shackles a person, it enslaves a person. And there's only one force that can break that, and that's Torah. So therefore, a person wants to reach Cheirus, he has to labor in Torah. Then he reaches freedom. Then he serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he rises. But if not, then he's a slave. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I cannot deal with slaves. Slaves cannot serve me. You cannot have a dual loyalty. You want to be loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to free yourself from every other loyalty in the world. And Klal Yisrael, at the time of the going out of Egypt, came to such a degree of shichru, of freedom, that we find that nothing was able to stop them. Even the sea. They came to the sea split. The Medrash brings and the posuk Matitzak Eli, it's the Mechilta in Beshalach, Matitzak Eli, when they came to the sea, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, why are you crying to me? Just cross the sea. Remeya Eimer, Remeya said, Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'odim Yechidi Osisi Yam Yaboshu. For one man, I made the sea into dry land. L'adas Kedeshi Malachas Kam V'Kamah. And therefore for my nation Israel, how much more so I will make the sea into dry land. What does this mean? So the Maral says in his Gvuras Hashem Perek Mem something very profound. By nature the sea should have covered the world. You know, there's many scientists all wonder, actually he says the scientists in his time also, they all wonder, why does the sea come up to this point and it stops? Stops right here. Stops at Durban. Say, why? So well, scientists come to the conclusion, because that's all water there is. Can't go any further. Sea water will only go uphill to a certain point depending on the force of the water and the quantity of the water. So the water ran out. This is the conclusion of scientists. The Chazal say not so. There's a kasha, there's a question. What is the depth of the ocean? 1,000 feet, 2,000 feet. It's been measured certain depths off of Japan and other places, Pacific, 10,000 feet or more, miles. If the water has managed to fill up a depth of miles, so why did it stop just here? The water ran out. Not so. The water stopped here because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in the Briyas HaElam, Yikovu HaMayim V'Seiroh HaYabosh, let the waters gather together in order that the earth shall be dry. Goru HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded the waters and he said, Ad Kan HaGvul, you will come to here and you will come no further. Chazal tell us that by nature the water should have covered the entire surface of the earth. Not that it happened to cover a little and not more. As it is, it covers 2/3 of the earth. But God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, told the waters, In no uncertain terms, this is where you will come and you will come no further. And this was a miracle, because we see from the other foundations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made in the world, they spread through the entire world. Air went through the entire world. The earth is found all over. Fire is anywhere. But the water has a gvul that has boundaries. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this? In order to say Roya Yabosh, in order that man could live. Otherwise, where would man live? And what? Why? Because the entire purpose of the creation was for man. Chayev Adam Leima Kol Ma'ashe Bor HaKadosh Baruch Hu Leibor El Bishvili. Person is obligated to say that the entire world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created was for me. Because everything he created for Adam HaRishon, for the first man and first woman, and for their descendants. This was the purpose of the world. If it was not, would not be for man, then he wouldn't have created the world. So then how can it be that what he created should destroy man? Therefore he placed a principle in the world that nature cannot destroy man. That's why the waters come to Durban and no further. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. What are you so worried about? Im lo odem yechidi, if for one man I held back the waters, ladas kadeshim lekovshke, so for my nation, how much more so? Matitzak alai, what are you crying for? Go into the waters. They will not harm you. Now, that is when though, that is when man is a man. When man is a perfection. When he's a man, he's not a slave. When he's a man, then the nature is his slave. But if he's a slave to the nature, then the nature destroys him. That's what happened in the generation of Noah. They all sunk to become slaves. So the water was there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, all right, I withdraw my principle, my decree from the world, and let the waters swallow up the earth. Or in other generations. At the time when Klal Yisrael came out of Egypt, they had come to such a level of shichru, of freedom, that they stood on such a level of being a man, the Adas Kedoshim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you have nothing to worry about. The waters will split. They will not dare to destroy man. Because nature was created to serve man. When we see such natural tragedy in the world, that nature comes to destroy man, that's because man is no longer a man over the nature, but he has become a slave to the nature. And then nature has become the king. But not so there. And we have a Gemara in Chulin. Don't have time to go into the whole Gemara. But the Gemara brings out one principle. Gemara in Chulin of Zai brings that there was a very, very great man by the name of Rav Pinchas ben Yoyer, one of the rabbis of the Mishnah. Very, very great. And he was going along for a great mitzvah. The mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim, to redeem a captive, which the Gemara says is mitzvah rabbah, one of the greatest mitzvahs in the Torah. You're allowed even to sell a Sefer Torah to get money to redeem a captive. Pogabo begin in Aro. He came to a river. Omale gine chalekli meimecho. He said to the river, divide your waters so I can cross you. So the river answered, you're going to fulfill the will of your master and I'm going to fulfill the will of my master. Rivers are supposed to go into the ocean. You might fulfill, you might not fulfill, but I certainly will. Therefore I'm not divided. So he told the river, if you won't divide for me, I will make a decree that no waters will ever pass through your riverbed again. Cholakle. So the river divided. Then he was with two other people. One was a carrying wheat for matzahs, and the other was an Arab merchant that was part of the group. And he says, divide for the others also, because we're all one group. This one's Isaac B'mitzvah, and this one is part of our traveling group. He divided. So the Gemara says, this man, you see, was as great as Mesh in the 600,000. Because just like the waters divided for Mesh in the 600,000, they divided for this man. The answer was, is because this man was a man. He was a king, he was not a slave. And if he's not a slave, then the forces of nature must serve him. Especially if he's going to fulfill the will of the King of all kings. Therefore, Klal Yisrael came to such a great level at that time that the waters split for them. So we have the two stages of the four redemptions. First being freed from Egypt, and then being brought over to the level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Pesach, Matzah, and Moreh, this represents the first three. We do not have time to go into this evening in detail, but this represents the first three. The Moreh, this is on the affliction. The matzah, the Gemara calls matzah, was just a bread of shichrur. This was freeing us from avdus, from slavery. The Pesach, this represented bringing us together from a strange land. The Gemara says that Pesach is the main national korban. Showed Klal Yisrael as one nation. One nation means they're not scattered. The four cases of wine, now this represents another dimension. Not only being freed from Egypt and all of its forces, but coming to the level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is this done with wine? There's a reason for it. It's a very interesting medrash. Medrash tells us in Tanchuma, Parshas Nayach, Yud Gimel, that after Nayach came out of his ark, his boat, by Yochel Nayach Isha Adoma, Nayach had a great yerida. He fell. After going through the entire flood and destruction of the world, and he was saved, he should have started to involve himself in greater things. What did he do? He went and he planted a vineyard, and he made wine. And from here came out, he got drunk, he fell asleep, and then it brought to an Aveira from one of his sons, and then two curses. So it says, Vayochel Neach Ish Adoma. So the Medrash brings that when he was thinking of planting this vineyard, the Sotan came to him and he said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to plant a vine. He says, what is that? He says, these are wonderful fruits. They're sweet. You can use them if they're fresh. You can use them if they're dry. You can make wine from them. Wine misameach levoves. Wine rejoices one's heart. Like Shlema Melech said, yain yisamach levav enesh. So the Sotan said, it's a good idea, I'll help you. Then the Sotan brought, states the Sotan brought a sheep, and he killed it by the vine. Then he brought a lion and he killed it. Then he bought, there's a question in the text here, what came first? But it should, then he brought a kaif, a monkey, and he killed it by the vine, and then he brought a chazir, a pig, and he killed it. And he used the blood in the vineyard. and the vine drew from the blood, and that helped it grow. So the Medrash says, what did the Sotan want here? The Sotan was telling us something. Before a person drinks a glass of wine, he's like a sheep. Tam, he's very straight, upright, very meek. Once he drinks, he starts to drink, he becomes like an Ari, a lion. And he says, Ein kemeisi ba'ilam, there's nobody like me in the whole world. Kiman shesosu yeser midai, when he starts to drink more, then he becomes like a kef, like a monkey. Eimeidu merakeidu mesachik, he gets up and he dances and he sings. Umeitzi lifnei hakol nivles haper, and he starts to say indecent things. Ben yedei mayas, and he doesn't even know what he's doing, like a monkey. And then, if he continues to drink even more, he becomes like a chazir. A chazir wallows in his own dirt and his own vomit. So is the person. This is what the Sotan was bringing, and he wanted to put these keches, these powers, into the wine. This is the power of wine. So we could ask, if this is the power of wine, so what did Chazal Tiknu Dalet Keshes for? Chazal came along and they said that we should drink 4 cups of wine to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's another Medrash. The Medrash is a Gemara. It's a Gemara Masech the Megillah, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara brings, during the party, the great party, the great royal feast that Ahasuerus made in Shushan Abira for all of his subjects, on the 7th day, when the king's heart became merry with wine, so the Gemara says it took him 7 days to become merry. They were drinking. It took him 7 days. It was Shabbos for you. But it says, see the difference. Yisrael eichlin v'sheisin. Yisrael on Shabbos v'yem ha'shvi, they eat and they drink. Maschilin b'divrei teira v'divrei shiras v'sishmoches. What do they do? Then they go to the Bote Kenisiyos, the Bote Midrashos. They learn Torah and they sing praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avol umay sa'aylam, but the nations of the world sha'eichlin v'sheisin, that eat and drink, what do they do? Ein maskilin l'bedivrei tiflis. They come to all types of nonsense or all types of impurities. V'chein besudos shelosh rosh, like we see in the suit of this wicked person, Ahasuerus. After drinking, so there became a discussion. Halolo Emeris, Mijes knows, Halolos Emeris, Parshes knows. Came an important discussion by the kings in the government chambers. They were for Modai Uparas. Modai and Paras was a combination of kingdoms, of Modai, the Midians, and Paras, the Persians. So it became a very great conversation there, that the ministers from Paras claimed that the women from Persia were the most beautiful. And the ministers from Modai claimed that the women from Modai were most beautiful. So Ahasuerus said, "Kli shani mishtamish bei ein alei Modai velei Prosi." He says, "My queen, she's neither. Ela Kazdi, she's Kazdi. She was a Babli. She was the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. And she's the most beautiful." So they wouldn't believe her. He says, "Him, Ritzeinchem l'reisa." So he asked, "Do you want to see her?" They said, "Yes. Yes, we want to see her. Bring her out." And from here, this brought on the whole business. Brought her out, she refused to come. And he killed her and so forth. So The Medrash brings here, look at the difference between Israel va'amim. V'yayim ha'shvi on the seventh day on Shabbos, Klal Israel drinks, and they go and they learn Torah, and they say Shiras v'sish boches. By the nations, when they drink, it brings them to tiflis, it brings them to all types of profanities and immoralities. Here it brought to immorality. They wanted, they insisted she should come naked, and she refused. It brought to immoralities, it brought to shvichas domim, it brought to retzicha, to murder. This is the nations. What's the difference? The Manal says, because wine is the king of all drinks. But not only is wine the king of all drinks, wine is a very special product in creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's for that reason that the Chazal were kevei mitzvahs ala kesh. Chazal said that whenever we do an important mitzvah, we should give it the honor and prestige, additional honor and prestige, by doing this mitzvah over a cup of wine. When we have a chuppah, we don't need the wine. That doesn't create anything in the marriage. When we have sheva brochas, we don't need the wine. That doesn't create anything in the brochas. When we have a bris milah, we don't need the wine. But the Chazal said no. Give honor to the mitzvah by doing it over a cup of wine. Kiddush, you can be Mekadosh Shabbos without wine. But the Chazal said, Kavu ala kesh. You should do it over a cup of wine. And the halach is that once you make a Beiri Priyagofen, you do not have to make any more brochas on any other drinks. This is the importance of the creation of wine. What is so important about it? The Gemara brings Nichnas Yain Yotzesot. Wine has the power where it brings out the secret of man. This doesn't only mean that when someone drinks wine he starts talking. Also means that, but it means deeper. It brings out the greatest depths of man. Nichnas Yain Yotzesot. The secrets of man, the concealed part of man, it brings out. What is the greatest concealed part of man? It's the soul of man. It states that the gematria of yain, the numerical value of yain, is shivim, 70. Yud nun. And shivim shonach ha'enosh, the years, the number of years of a man's life is 70. We see when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this grape, this fruit, it was created to correlate with man's life. And the creation itself is that of an inner depth. Why? Because if you will take a fruit and squeeze it out, you'll have a fruit juice. If you will take grapes and squeeze it out, you'll also have a juice. You will not have wine. Wine is the fermentation process which comes from the concealed chemical qualities of the grape, that it starts to come out from its concealed places, and therefore it brings out the innermost parts of man. Now depends now on what's this innermost part of man. When it comes to the nations of the world, their source is one of nonsense. Their source is one of tomb of impurities. Their source is that of immorality or deviations from the norm. So if you remove that person's inhibitions, which wine will do, it'll bring this all out. And therefore the Sultan was talking to Noah. Before the wine, he's a sheep. Then he becomes strong like a lion. Then he dances and he sings like a monkey. And then he becomes like a chazir, like a pig. And this was with Ahasuerus and all of his cabinet ministers. But when you're speaking to Klal Yisrael, what are you bringing out? You're bringing out the inner core of the Jew, which is shackled by the physical body. You're redeeming that soul. That's the power wine will have on a Jew. And therefore, when he drinks wine, this brings him to Torah. If he's a Jew in the proper level that he is, this brings him to Divrei Shireis V'Sishbochais, to praise out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore it said, look at the difference between the Ahasuerus and his people on Yom HaShvi and Israel on Yom HaShvi. Israel makes Kiddush on wine, and then they praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they go to study Torah. Therefore, Dalit Geulis wasn't four expressions of redemption. Since there are four expressions of redemption, this means there were four redemptions. V'heitzeisi eschem mitachas sivlis Mitzrayim. Tell Klal Yisrael, I will take them out from beneath the yokes of Egypt. I will free them from this decree of the Inuosa, that they will be afflicted. Then a second redemption, V'itzalti eschem me'avedosum. I will free them from their slavery, v'avodu meisum, the decree that they will be enslaved. And then the third redemption, V'galti eschem Yisrael to Yerushvotim Gdolim. I will come and redeem them from this foreign land. This was the decree of Geri Mayisem, that you will be strangers and alien in a land which is not yours. Now that you're free, and you've freed yourself from all of the forces of Egypt and everything that they represented, what will be then? Then will be a new gula. V'lakachti eschem li le'om v'yoyisi lochem le'lekim. I will take you to be my nation and I will be your God. And then I will bring you to Har Sinai and tell you, Anechi Hashem Elokecho, you will then be ready to accept me as the king. Asher etzeisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim, the base avodim that have taken you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. First avodim la avodim, you a slave to slaves, I will free you, and then you will be avodahim, my slaves. Amzuko alto, I have redeemed you. Now amzuko niso. So there were four geulas. This the Chazal said. We must praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu whenever he redeems us. He does miracles for us and redeems us, we must praise him. If he gave us four geulas, therefore we must drink four cups of wine. They're a cherus, like, not like free men of the nations. Free men of the nations, we see what they do. But like free men of Klal Yisrael that become kings, they're a cherus of Klal Yisrael, nobility. And on each cup of wine, we must do a mitzvah with it. Because wine brings the nations to depravity. To Klal Yisrael, wine brings them to mitzvahs, to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because it brings out the innermost conscience and soul of man. Ubein shlish l'rvi l'yishta. Between the third and the fourth cup, you should not drink. Because at that level, once you're freed from the forces of Egypt, then immediately, you are taken to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lakachti lochem lili om. I will take you for my nation. Therefore, the Midrash says, "Kenegdun tiktu chachomim arba kesis." Because of these four geulais,
HaKadosh, the Chazal ordained that we should praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the four cups of wine at the Seder Pesach night. We should be zeicher to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the freedom which took place. And we should be zeicher to constantly free ourselves from all of the influences that take us away from Torah, that take us away from serving Him, in order that we can be zeicher to be avodim l'Hashem, servants to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until we should be zeicher to the final geula b'mehera v'yameinu. We should all be zeicher to have a chag kosher v'sameach.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.